Yo, what's cracking? It's your homeboy Ice Cube, and you tuned in to Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. You know what it is, baby.
Welcome back to the Everything Snowboarding and More podcast. This is episode number 40. My name is Mike Hardiker, and I'm your host for the show. This week's special guest is Scotty Lago. Scotty Lago is a badass snowboarder Olympian. The interview kind of cut off the first few seconds, but we'll just jump right into it. Once again, this episode is being sponsored by SparkRND.com. If you're the type of splitboarder that goes out mountaineering, really tough on your gear, be sure to check out the Spark splitboard bindings. They've got the Arc, the Surges, as well as the Pro Line, women's bindings, and much more. SparkRND.com.
I guess my passion for hunting really started to pick up within the last like 7 years, and each year I've been kind of spending more time and a little bit more passionate at it, and I guess a little bit more crazy, as my wife might say, just going full ham on it.
Yeah, it's pretty addicting. You know, one of the things that we're seeing with hunting in particular is the fastest user group is coming out of the action sports community. You know, people that snowboard and ski and mountain bike. And now all these people are like, hey, wait a sec, like, you know, I eat healthy and I play in the mountains part of the year. You know, what's this other thing these guys are doing in the fall?
Right.
That's pretty cool. Did you start with a rifle, or have you, I saw a picture of a big buck. Why don't you tell us about that first?
Which buck are you talking about?
Oh, gosh.
I killed a big one this year with my bow and arrow. That was the biggest one I've killed this year. And then I killed one of the biggest deer shot in Maine last year with my rifle when I was tracking. It was talking about the one with snow on the ground?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, cool. So I got that up in northern Maine, and I got it tracking. So we go up every year. I'm somewhat new to tracking, but, you know, I've been going up for the last 4 years. And I mean, it's just, there's no better adventure, no better. I mean, it's so peaceful and it is so damn hard, but also no better chance to go out and kill kind of the biggest deer that you can find. Cause you don't pick up a track unless it's, you know, a big track and a you know, good size stride and width to it. So, you know, you're going to be tracking a big deer, and you just take it for miles. You know, we go up in the land where, Maine's pretty awesome like that. I mean, if it's not posted land, then you can hunt it. So there's, you know, thousands and thousands of acres, you know, privately owned, and people don't post, you know, either paper companies or lumber companies, you know, own huge tracts of land. So we can just drive around and it's best when we get a fresh snowfall. So, you know, we go out early in the morning and we find a, you know, a big track crossing the road. And if it's big enough and if it's fresh enough, then we'll take it. I should park my truck right there, set my GPS and head off. So the story behind this buck is I ended up tracking a smaller deer into this big cedar swamp. And I had been up to Maine. I've been in Maine for about 3 weeks, right? Just kind of grinding and putting on miles. I walked over 100 miles just actually on tracks throughout my trip. But I tracked a smaller one into this thick cedar swamp. And I eventually saw this giant's track cross right in front of me. And I'm like, all right, this thing is huge. And I could tell it was smoking fresh. Before I even stepped up and started tracking, I made it about two steps, you know, started tracking this new deer because I swapped. I'm like, you know, this thing is huge. I'm not interested in the one I was tracking before. I heard a grunt behind me and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, geez and crow. I'm like, is that another hunter? You know, so like it kind of freaked me out because I knew there's some other hunters in the area, you know, so I whistled. I was like, and friggin' I turned around and here comes this giant buck through about 15 feet away from me. Somehow he was not freaked out by my whistle. And I was able to raise my 30-06, just old iron sights carbine. And I shot him and I let every other bullet in my clip go and only hit him once. And that was the story. It ended up being 246 pounds, big framed, you know, big Maine deer. And yeah, I couldn't have been any happier with him.
Wow, that's a great story. And I love that, you know, you were tracking the one and then you saw the fresh tracks and you're like, I'm going to go this way now. Did you spend as many days hunting as you did snowboarding last year? Or how does that balance out for you?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think for myself, last year, I probably put more days, you know, boots on the ground, like you said, hunting. I was, you know, really getting into it, you know, deer and elk hunting. And this year I finally got a couple of elk and I got them within, you know, five or six days. I got both of them. And I was like, wow, that was, but I still wouldn't mind, you know, putting the 40 or 50 days in just walking around because it's just different and it's so special. Right. And to be able to see the terrain in a whole new way.
Oh, I agree with you, man. I guess in like a perfect world, right? You kill your deer or your elk on the last day of the hunt, right? So you get all the fun of chasing them and the challenge and then you get it done on the last day. That would be ideal.
That's funny.
I think last year, I think I did spend more time in the woods than I did on the mountain, but you know, my priorities have changed a little bit. I'm not actually trying to be a professional snowboarder anymore. So it would usually be, I would be gone in early November, you know, when I was competing, you know, training right away and was full out all the way until April. So I have a lot more time on my hands now. And so, yeah.
Well, speaking of snowboarding, tell us about your snowboard company.
Yeah. So I started Lego Snowboards about 6 years ago and I actually teamed up with one of my old board techs from Flow Snowboards. He used to be board tech and we worked hand in hand. I made four pro models with him. So we kind of knew right where to start. He started working for this factory. I reached out to him. He's like, dude, this is perfect. He's like, we already know where to start. And here we are six years later and finally starting to build some steam up. I'd say for the first 3 years, it was as far as business aspect, it was more or less like a passion project / hobby, you know, wasn't really, you know, doing much. And I also didn't have the time to put into it. That was the biggest thing, right? It's like my main priority was, you know, was snowboarding and my obligations to sponsors and competitions and stuff like that. So now that I've had more time to dedicate to Lego Snowboards, it's starting to pick up steam and we make awesome snowboards. I mean, we make super high quality snowboards at a lot cheaper price than you can really get because we go direct to consumer all online and we keep it insanely simple. You know, I don't have any reps or anything like that. So, you know, I can cut my cost a lot there.
Definitely. I think there's something to be said for when snowboarders or professional snowboarders start their own brand. I mean, I can see it when I looked at the profiles of your boards, kind of almost a throwback, you know, when I saw the flat profiles and the camber profiles. Kind of tell us about some of the different profiles you did and, you know, the use of ASIM. What was, you know, I don't see a lot of rocker in the line. What kind of was the design ideas for these boards?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as the ASIM, I mean, asymmetrical, so essentially it has like a tighter heel side edge. It's supposed to help you turn heel side, and it does. So, but I also wanted a twin tip. So you have one, you know, one designated heel side edge and toe side edge, but it can be ridden either way. So, you know, as far as camber and rocker, I mean, in my eyes, if you're going to be, you know, bring your snowboarding to the highest level, you need a camber board. I mean, I think all riders would agree, all these high level riders would agree that, you know, camber's kind of the best way, you know, and whether it's an aggressive camber or kind of a flatter camber, but camber really just helps you hold your edge, especially on, you know, on impact, you know, landing or half pipe or whatever. So yeah, I was more into the camber, but we do have one slight rocker. It's more like a flat rocker. It's just, you know, it's not very extreme, but you can notice a big difference. So pressing and stuff like that on boxes or rails or whatever, it's just a lot more fun and a little bit more freestyle when it comes to butters and stuff like that. So that's the shred stick, but we only have three models, right? So we have the double barrel, which is my, you know, my go-to. We have the open road, which is a directional powder board, but it also can kind of shred everything. And then we have the shred stick, the one I just described, more, you know, whatever, jibber style, and it can hold its own on jumps and pipe too.
Again, I like that you're actually kind of building boards for, you know, people and the style of riding they're doing. I mean, it seems like camber, especially in the split board area, I mean, camber is kind of the go-to. the other day I was selling a splitboard to a guy and he said, well, why is this camber? You know, I'm in the backcountry. I want rocker. And I said, well, the rocker's fun when you're riding powder. I said, but you're not going to really enjoy that on the skin track as you're sliding backwards. So it seems the industry really, especially with splitboarding, is going camber. And you know, there's still a few brands that, you know, really love their rocker, or their rocker camber profile. But like you said, anybody that's really been snowboarding for a while or that just wants that performance, I think is realizing that camber, you really, there was nothing wrong with it, you know, so.
Totally. You know. Yeah. That's the thing. There was nothing wrong with it. But there's also, I mean, you know, hey, you want to mix it up. You want to have a quiver with some different boards and different shapes and stuff. I mean, I'm all for it. Right. I have a quiver with all kinds of weird stuff, but yeah, totally. I agree with you.
Do you miss seeing quarter pipe competitions?
Nope, I don't.
You don't? Okay.
The only reason, because it's just, dude, someone ends up always getting broke off on a quarter pipe contest, yep. You know, because it's essentially, it's, you know, who points it and goes the fastest into it, you know, and, you know, we all end up pushing it farther than we can, and someone ends up getting broke off. But, I mean, they are fun. They're awesome. And then it's, you know, it's an awesome event for a crowd, right? So you can kind of have it in anywhere. I mean, we did one in Breckenridge in the parking lot where we were getting towed in from snowmobiles. Pretty cool. So, yeah, they're fun, but I don't really necessarily miss them.
Yeah, it's not too fun to deck out when you're that high up. I mean,
right. Yeah. Totally. As far as a contest wise, I don't really miss it competing, but I do love quarter pipes. Yeah. Just to, you know, just to hit and whatever.
And how about big mountain riding? Do you like going out and, you know, shredding big lines, or what's kind of your go to these days?
Yeah, man. I think I'd choose, you know, a powder day over any other day. I don't think I'm alone with that, you know? So yeah, I mean, big mountain, I'm all for it. I just, honestly, I'm just, you know, I live on the East Coast, right? I live in New Hampshire. So when I have the opportunity to go ride, you know, some big mountain, it's usually end of the year in Alaska or something like that, then, you know, I jump on it. But anytime I can, you know, I can score a powder day, wherever it might be, you know, I'm first in line.
All right. And how about, like,
I'll try to be at least.
I love it. Yeah. One day I there was a big dump out at Squaw, and I told my friend, I said, you know, we got to get here a couple hours early. And all of a sudden I look behind me and there's Jeremy and, you know, Rylan and a bunch of guys. And I was like, what happened? You guys got here late. And he just gave me the dirtiest look. I was like, well, it's a powder day. You gotta get there early.
That's funny. Yeah. They were talking about it. They had too many drinks at the bar talking about it.
Exactly. How about as far as like splitboarding? Have you done much splitboarding, or is that something that you see Lego Snowboards doing in the future?
Believe it or not, I can't lie. I've never been splitboarding before.
No shit. Wow.
Yeah, I've never. Honestly, I've just never had the kind of opportunity, or it made sense for me to. You know, anytime I was doing anything backcountry, it was either, you know, hiking something, either like a cliff or a booter, we would have sledge or helicopter. But for me, it's been kind of just boots hiking, you know. But I mean, I want to get into it, and I think it makes more sense for me nowadays, where I can go out and cruise and whatever, just kind of pick my own line. But yeah, I mean, definitely would be interested in doing something like that. But I gotta do it myself first.
For sure. Well, if you ever make it out to Jackson, I would love to take you out. You know, we've got really fun kind of mini golf splitboarding. And, you know, for me, it's just about getting out and doing the tour. I rarely get into avalanche terrain. I mean, I ski really, really fun trees. And, you know, when the conditions are right, you can push it a little farther. But it's really, I mean, I haven't had a ski pass in, I think, 8 years now. And it's completely changed the game. But I can see where, you know, in the past when you were working, you know, in efficiency, you know, going out on the sled or getting a heli bump is going to be much more efficient than, all right, let's go and tour out there for the day and, you know, be completely cooked by the time you get to the top of a run.
Right. Well, I mean, that's literally the only thing that has kept me back from it, right? Because it's like, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, I have a goal or we have, you know, objective in mind when we're at the, you know, when we're on the mountain, you know, whether it's filming, getting a shot, or, you know, competing or practicing or whatever, you know. So I don't know. I just really never fell into place, but it's something that I know that I would love. I mean, like I think I would take more enjoyment of, you know, just as much enjoyment, you know, cruising up and, you know, splitting, you know, than coming down. So I definitely want to get into it. I would love to hit you up and rip around out in Jackson with you. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it's super fun. Do you do any mountain biking?
No, not really. I mean, I have here a little bit, but no, nothing serious.
So outside of like hunting in the fall, how do you stay busy in the summertime?
Hanging with friends. I mean, up until a couple of years ago, we were still boarding, you know, a bunch in the summer, either out in New Zealand or South America or Mount Hood. But yeah, just bopping around. I have a property in Southampton, New Hampshire, where I find more projects than I can handle in 10 years. So I like working around the property and hanging local.
And you mentioned friends. Do you guys still have the friends crew running around?
Yeah, we're all still here, but you know, we don't have the headphone business anymore. But we're just the crew, and yeah, we all kind of, you know, kind of going our separate ways in just in life, more or less taking us. You know, Danny Davis is still crushing it. Jack Matroni now does, announcing. He also works for, you know, for Burton. Mason Aguirre is in South Carolina. He opened a hairdressing spot. He's got his own barbershop. Luke Petrani, he is now a successful musician and doing that. So we're all kind of just spread out and doing random stuff.
That's awesome. And
obviously snowboarding, and that's what brought us together, and that's what kind of ties us together.
For sure. How about injuries? What have been some of the injuries you've had over the years participating in snowboarding or just life?
Dude, I've got a lot. I have, I've broken almost like 30 bones or over 30 bones. A lot of concussions, separated AC shoulders. But yeah, man, you name it, I've broke. you know, like I said, I don't really have the best of luck. You know, I like to push it too much. Broken both my arms, both my wrists. Collarbones, nose, neck, sternum, jaw, teeth, bones in my feet, ankle, a lot of them.
It reminds me of the old pictures in the snowboard mag where they would show the guy and just show all the different injuries, and it would just be like, holy cow, these guys have gotten broken off over the years. How did you come back from all these? Just lots of PT and just dedication to knowing that you wanted to snowboard?
Fortunately, I didn't really have any like career ending injuries as far, like I didn't have any ligament injuries, right? Like the ligament injuries are always the ones that kind of keep coming back and, you know, have to get surgery. I just broke a lot of bones, so I was just casted up a lot. But I used that time, you know, when I was down to chill, to refocus, to kind of look at my, you know, my career in snowboarding and to remotivate and to almost make sure that I was still heading in the right direction or the direction that I wanted to go in. And I just tried to turn a negative into a positive and work to my mental game. And yeah, that's kind of how I dealt with my injuries. And honestly, it's kind of sounds weird, but I think they were a good thing for me, you know, because I think a lot of times I needed that break to step back and be like, wow, you know what? I didn't actually want to be going in this way or, you know, doing it this way, you know, but you're boarding and every day, you know, you're just kind of grinding and all of a sudden you're off in a different area. But, so yeah, I was kind of a ramble, but that's kind of how I use injuries to my advantage, I guess.
For sure. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And, I know for myself, whether it's an injury or something in life, you know, you hit the bottom kind of like that and you're like, okay, I don't want to be down here. And what do I need to do to get back to, you know, even a better person than I was?
Right. And there's been so many riders. I mean, so many athletes, right? It comes with the territory, right? You're going to get hurt. I mean, it's how you deal with it, you know, is, you know, can be the biggest difference.
For sure. You mentioned the mental aspect. Do you meditate or do you do any esoteric practices? I mean, how did that help in your training or if at all?
I do now. I didn't so much not too long ago, but we have dealt with some sports psychologists and stuff like that. And I guess the mental aspects, it just kind of getting everything, you know, in your control, dial in as much as you can, you know, and then leaving everything it just makes you feel like, you know, when you're at a contest or whatever, everything that's taken care of, your board's dialed, you've got it back up, you know, your body's right, and you have a plan going into it. I guess that's kind of really what I focused on as far as mental game. But nowadays, yeah, I definitely meditate. I've been starting to do it every morning, and I think it's a huge plus. I think. No, I really don't know really what I think about it, but I'm learning.
I could hear the pause, like when you said that. I mean, it's changed my life, and I got into Buddhism a few years ago, and I was like, oh my God, I'm like much more of a mellow person now. And it's, it's interesting how our thoughts can start getting in the way. I mean, when I used to compete and do the big mountain comps, I would show up and I'd do my run and I would just fall apart. I'd be shredding hard all day. I'd do my run. I would fall apart. I'd shred hard all afternoon. I was just like, I was a complete, you know, just mental shit show, where other people, you know, maybe had their breath work dialed or just kind of future forward thinking, okay, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm hitting. I know I'm going to make the second round. I know I'm going to make the podium. I just personally never had that in the past. So it's definitely, it seems like the sports psychologists play into that.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, you're not alone, right? I was right there with you, man. I think that was one of my biggest things. And, you know, kind of one of my biggest flaws in at least competing. You know, I would win a handful of practices, you know, I would go win practice and then fall my last run and in the contest. So I can't tell you how many times I've done that. So I hear you, Mike. It's all good.
I appreciate that.
As long as we're learning, right? We're getting better.
Oh, for sure.
That's what matters.
For sure. If you're not falling, you're not trying, right?
That's right.
Okay, let's wrap this up. I want to kind of swing back into the hunting. So this year you were out bow hunting. Was this your first season as a bow hunter?
No, I've been bow hunting since I've been a kid. I killed my first deer when I was 10 with my bow. And so I've been doing it forever. And I love it, man. You see a lot more during archery season. There's just a lot less people in the woods. The deer are more active, and you know, just a lot less pressure, right, from other hunters, right? Once shotgun rifle opens up, you know, whole fleet of people wearing pumpkin colored clothing, you know, filtrate the woods, and you know, the deer learn quick, you know, all the critters learn quick.
Pumpkin colored clothing, I like that. I haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, pumpkin heads running around everywhere.
Oh, well, Scotty, I really appreciate you jumping on the call with us today. And how can people find out more information about LEGO Snowboards?
Yeah, simple enough. LEGOsnowboards.com, LAGO, snowboards.com. Go check it out. We are sold out at a few models right now, a few sizes, but we should be getting some more in here the next week or so. So yeah, check them out. They're awesome. You will not be disappointed. If you break your board, we'll get you a new one. And yeah, check it out.
Right on. Well, thanks, Scotty. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a good season. Stay healthy, and look forward to shredding with you here in Jackson sometime soon.
All right. I like that.
Killer.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Right on, Scotty. Bye.
All right. Yep. Bye.
All right. Well, that was a really fun interview with Scotty. Scotty, thanks again. And hopefully we will take him out splitboarding here in the Tetons sooner than later. Thanks so much for tuning in. Episode number 40 of the Everything Snowboarding and More podcast.